Let us now go to God's holy word as we find it this morning in the Gospels of Luke and Mark and Matthew. Our central text will be first Luke 8, verse 22 to 25, and that will also be our text. And then with the supporting parallel passages both in Mark and Matthew. So first to Luke 8, reading at verse 22 to verse 25. Jesus, by this time well into his ministry, having done many mighty signs and wonders, we read at verse 22, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy." That is to say, great danger. "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" And then turning back just a wee bit in the New Testament to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, reading from verse 35 to 41. "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" And then similarly, we read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 to verse 27. Matthew 8, verse 23. "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" And so far we read from God's holy word. Congregation, beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a good thing to know that our Lord Jesus and God our Father continue to love us even when our faith is not what it ought to be, even when our faith is little, even when our faith is weak. Reminded of the words in 2 Timothy 2:13 where Paul says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." And that was the case of those disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ on that unforgettable day when they were in a boat with him on the Sea of Galilee and suddenly overcome by a very violent storm. At the end of that time, they said, "Who can this be?" Talk about a question. Who can this be? Well, he was the one who they had not been putting their faith in when they ought to have been doing so. That is who he was. He was Jesus the Christ. He was the Son of God. He was mighty God, Prince of Peace, our Savior, and our Lord. That is who he was, who he is, who he remains for our sake. Brothers and sisters, our theme this morning, Jesus calls his disciples from a weak faith to putting all their trust in him. From weakness to great strength. On that unforgettable day on the Sea of Galilee, and what a learning day it was. What a growing in faith day it was. Perhaps days that you can remember in your own life when you were really hard-pressed as well, and your faith was weak. You know there was something not right with your faith, and yet the Lord God was with you, and by his providence, those events came into your life as well. But the good hand of the Lord, and the big question, of course, was, and the point of this story, verse 25, Where was your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus asks the question, and of course we need to find the answers. Let us consider first that Jesus calls his disciples away from a frantic and an unreasonable fear. Now our Lord isn't teaching us here that we ought never to be afraid of anything. He's not teaching us that we may never be disturbed or become afraid in some situation. He's not saying that, but he is teaching us then to fully put our faith into gear, to make our faith be expressed when it really needs to be, so that we may very quickly quiet ourselves and know that we can be assured of his divine care and goodness and mercy. Let us read at verse 22 and 3 of Luke 8. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." And so they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water. Imagine that. The boat was getting full of water, and they were in jeopardy, in real danger. Matthew tells us that suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. Now, we do know from history that the Sea of Galilee could sometimes experience very sudden, horrific storms. We also know that the disciples were veteran fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat, and they'd been in many bad storms before, but this perhaps was a storm that they had never seen before. In any case, it was still an ordinary storm, so to speak. It was caused not simply by the movement of air currents above the waters. It wasn't simply the collision of a high-pressure system and a low-pressure system coming together and bang, you get a big storm. No, the hand of God was here too. As he sends every storm, so he sent this storm as well. And what were the disciples to really be busy with and doing? Well, we need to know they were in the classroom of God. They were in school. And their teacher in the boat happened to be God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the teacher. And they were in class. We continue to read in verse 22 that the boat indeed was filling with water. And then they came to him, verse 24, and they awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." They realized that it was hopeless for them to be able to do anything to keep the boat from from capsizing, and they were in a great fear, frantic, dreadful fear of drowning. I don't know how high the gunwales on the side of the boat must have been, maybe 2-3 feet high. And it says the boat was filling with water. Maybe there was 1.5 feet of water in the boat already. And they are concluding, this is game over for us. We are in big trouble. They were overcome with terror, with the wind and the waves so hostile, so vicious, that they said, "Master, Master, we are perishing." They don't say, "We might perish." They say, "We are. We are perishing." They're overwhelmed with panic, overwhelmed with an unreasonable fear, so much so that Jesus says in Mark 4, verse 40, "Why are you so afraid?" The word "so" is an important one. But here's the point. Their fear went way beyond the reasonable limits that God or the Lord Jesus would have found acceptable. And so he says, "Where is your faith?" And in Mark 4, verse 40, "How is it that you have no faith?" We ask, what had happened to their faith? Because Jesus asks, "Where is it?" Their faith should have been right there with them in the boat, right where they were working. And so also with us, our faith must always be with us, whether we're on the farm, in the business office, at school, walking down a dark alley, you name it. There our faith needs to be. And the implication is, we can imagine what thoughts maybe were going through the mind of the Lord Jesus. They're unspoken, but we would think, yeah, this is an awful storm you disciples are in. This trial is not an easy one. I get it. But where is your faith? And that is the issue here, congregation, this morning for us. We too ought not to be overcome or paralyzed by terrors that might come our way, or hardship seeing so strong, so awful, or so long that we are simply overcome with fear and dread or depression when a horrible crisis hits. Jesus was teaching his disciples, your life indeed will have many trials as you continue to follow me and to serve you. You will perhaps go through many trials when you are mocked for your faith, when you are ridiculed in the face of others, whether you're in a university classroom or somewhere else, and you're mocked for your faith and you're despised by your faith, so that you basically shut up in silence and you cower with fear perhaps. And then again the question, where was your faith? It could have showed itself better, stronger. We may not be overcome with an unreasonable, frantic fear or despair, or maybe develop an attitude, all hope is lost, all hope is gone. Then, congregation, we have forgotten the words of our Father who says, have faith in me. Jesus says, have faith in me as well. Lest these words of the Lord Jesus may come in a haunting way back to us and we remember the words, oh, where was your faith at that moment? Jesus here rebukes the winds and the waves, of course, and there was suddenly a great calm, we read. This was an absolute miracle of astonishing, powerful proportion to suddenly quiet everything. But congregation, what stands out perhaps even more in this story is that he rebukes the disciples for their unreasonable fear, a frantic, unreasonable fear. we have here a number of things going on. We, on the one hand, see Jesus' humanity full well. He got into the boat. It was his idea. And very soon, he was sound asleep. You think the roaring of the waves would have woken him up a couple minutes earlier. But they didn't. He was very tired, sound asleep. But he also showed his deity again to them when he commanded the winds and the waves to cease and they were still. And so they should not have been so overcome with dreadful fear, but very quickly to have reminded themselves, guess who is in this boat with us, our beloved Lord and Savior, and put their complete trust in him, saying, yes, you are God. We will be still and know that you are God. Psalm 46:10. And we will trust in you to save us. So that is what we see first, Jesus rebuking them for their severe fear. And now he calls his disciples, secondly, he calls them out for their lack of faith and their trust in him. Why were they so dreadfully afraid? Because they had little faith. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? We read in Matthew's account. Had those disciples not been sitting at Jesus' feet for a good while already, well over a year, had they not seen him give sight to the blind, had he not healed the sick by the boatloads, we would say, when multitudes came to him, thousands came to surround him, and wherever he went, he healed all who were sick. He could have healed several thousand people on a single day. Talk about miraculous power going out from him. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He healed the paralytic. He had only recently raised the widow of Nain, her son, from the dead. He'd cast out demons in countless thousands of people. He'd shown his great power over every disease and sickness or deformity. He's shown his great power over the devil himself by casting out demons. He had shown his power over all the elements of nature. He turned water into wine. Jesus' power was seen to be unlimited, and his mercy to his people boundless as well. And thus Jesus had to rebuke them in this very dangerous storm, when their life was in danger, yeah, it was, but still to rebuke them for their lack of faith and lack of trust in him. Should they not have been thinking, Jesus, you are the Son of God. When you are with me, all is well. All's good. Because I know you're here. We are in the hands of our God. But sad to say, that was not their confession, but a dreadful fear on account of a severe lack of that good and perfect faith. And so, congregation, it is with us. So it's been with me too, on many occasions. To be overcome with a dreadful sense of weakness and fearfulness. And is it not because sin dwells in all our hearts, that sinfulness, that original sin, that causes sinful fears to arise up, a sinful wee little faith when there should have been so much more to make us stronger? And tragic circumstances in life and severe trials in life work the same effect to weaken our faith because we're weak, sinful creatures. But we need to realize that the expression of our faith at a given moment is not to be dictated by the circumstances we are in, but by remembering our God is with us. Jesus, by his Spirit, never leaves his people as orphans, but as he promised, he said, I will come to you. Our faith may never be determined by the sinful feelings that linger on in our minds and hearts. Say, our faith must be grounded not in circumstances, not in feelings, or simply because we're having a really bad day and we forget about God. But our faith must depend entirely upon Jesus Christ. And so when those disciples cried out, Master, Master, we are perishing, it showed their little faith, their very weak or almost absent trust in Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord God was right there in the boat with him. Talk about God meeting us in the nitty-gritty of our lives. Whether we're farming or fixing machinery or cleaning the house or having to do the laundry and we run into stress and trouble, the Lord meets us no matter where we are. There in our places, he comes to our aid and calls us to remember his holy word, the great things he has done, like we have right here in our text. Would Jesus Christ indeed let those disciples perish after all he had done for them already, cleanse them from sin? Would he let them perish after all the training he'd put them through so they could be apostles to build this church? Could Jesus allow everything to crash and fall through the cracks because he's unable to do what needs to be done? Of course we need to trust in Christ. We realize God's kingdom will never be swept away by physical forces, like the very winds and the sea he created himself. And so when they cried out, we are perishing, it was truly a lack of faith. And those words, we are perishing, it seems also included Jesus in with them. Jesus, you and us, we are perishing because the boat is getting full of water. They brought Jesus again down to their human earthly level, as if to say what they can't do, perhaps Jesus can't do either, and place Jesus in the same danger of death. They had little faith. But was he not God? He was. Was Jesus now to die as well? Where is your faith? Oh, Jesus isn't saying that they had zero faith, but their faith perhaps was shut behind them or cast behind them and made totally inoperable. You know, we can have faith and yet do nothing with it. It's almost like it might as well not even be there. When Jesus said, you have no faith. Oh, congregation, we see in this whole thing how Jesus is rather unconcerned about the storm itself. Jesus is just fine with that boat filling up with water. He was perhaps already getting wet. He's not in distress because of the storm at all. As a matter of fact, when Matthew tells us that Jesus did not first rebuke the wind and the waves the moment they awoke him, but the first thing Jesus said, his greatest concern first was not the storm, but why are you so fearful? Well, you, a little faith. The wind and the waves was not Jesus' primary concern, but their lack of faith, that was his concern. And I would say so for all of us. Our faith is the concern of our Lord. Jesus was not concerned that storms or whatever might undermine his power or his kingdom. Remember, often Jesus was in great danger by his enemies, the leaders of the Jews. They were out to kill him and destroy him. They wanted to push him over the cliff, remember, at Nazareth. And Jesus just walked straight through their midst as if they were not even there. They couldn't lay a finger on him. Jesus, indeed, was not threatened by anybody, much less this storm. You see, congregation, he is God, and none can take away his calmness. None can take away his power. And nobody can destroy his church apart from his providence, of course. These storms are not going to ruin Jesus' day. This storm was not going to shipwreck his mission or destroy his disciples. The point is, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is in full control of every single thing that happens on the face of the earth every moment of time. In full control. And always the welfare of his church is so dear to his heart. He's in full control of these little faith disciples and you and me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God, knows when his church is persecuted. He knows when his church is in severe danger. He knows when we might say, "Lord, Lord, don't you care for me that I'm in so much trouble?" Or, "Lord, Lord, don't you care for your people that they're being killed all day and led to the slaughter? Lord, don't you care about these things? Don't you care about my predicament?" Oh, yes, he does, brothers and sisters. Our Lord cares. He knows every moment we go through. He knows the terrors we face. He knows the power of Satan seeking to assault us. He knows it all. And is deeply concerned for the church whom he loved, whom he gave his life up for. Think of how he cared for Lot, that righteous man, in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were ready to destroy him. The Lord cared for Lot. Think of the wandering Israelites in that very hostile wilderness when their faith was so frail and beset with so many weaknesses. Israel on the verge of extinction, surrounded by enemies who destroy them. And it's okay. It's okay. God is saying, "I'm with you. Why did you grumble so much? You thought you were dying of thirst in the wilderness and there was no water. You grumbled against me. You grumbled against Moses. Where's your faith?" It's okay if you're in a real tough spot. It's fine. Because your Lord Jesus Christ is with you by his Holy Spirit. And so keep on in your faith. Keep putting it into gear and shifting up, so to speak, so that your faith carries you through. Don't let your faith in God ever decrease. Keep praying, "Oh Lord, increase our faith, strengthen my faith, help me all the more to keep putting my trust in you." And so we see how the Lord Jesus, in this second point, wants to take his disciples from a lack of faith, from a pathetic faith, to a full-orbed, full, august faith, and a complete trust in him. And again, we see, congregation, how all our trials then come not by chance, but from the mighty hand of God to test us, to try us, test our mettle, spiritually speaking, to make us see what makes us really tick. He sends us trials to strengthen us, to purify us. He sends us trials to chastise us. Often we need chastisement, brothers and sisters. But it's all because in love he wants to draw us closer to himself. He indeed will not never let his kingdom fall to the ground. Neither will he let you fall to the ground to make your faith worthless or absolutely powerless. He indeed will pick you up again. The Lord will never let Satan have the last laugh in your life. Indeed, the words of Paul are true, that he who began to do a good work in you will certainly bring it to completion at the last day. And so what, thirdly, was our Lord really teaching his disciples here? Well, lastly, to fully exercise true faith in him. Again, we have that kind of nagging question, where is your faith? Where is it? Your faith should have been fully in operation, fully in gear, at work. Your faith is that spiritual dimension, that gift of God within us that is to enable us to rule over all things rather than let sinful feelings and terrors rule us, but let our faith have dominion over our fears and all our struggles, whether we're very sick, whether we've lost this or that, it doesn't matter. Let circumstances not control how you respond or to determine whether you'll be happy or content or safe, but let your faith speak. And how important it is, therefore, to know what's in God's holy word, where we see the mighty works of God countlessly laid before us, to read, to know, to confess, to say, yes, you are God, and I am such a weak child, but I have a very great, almighty, powerful God, and therefore it is well with my soul, come what may. Let that faith rule you. Let your full trust in Jesus Christ rule the day for you. Luke concludes at verse 25 saying, and they were afraid. And they marveled. They were utterly astonished, saying, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Brothers and sisters, who can this be who has displayed so much power in your life to cause you to be born again from death, who's enabled you to clean up your mouth so you cease from cursing and swearing, who has destroyed the addiction that was controlling you? Who can this be? It is the Lord. He is God. And we are his people. Well, on the one hand, be utterly amazed at the power of God in your life. But don't be afraid. Don't resign yourself to fears and terrors in your life. But exercise your God-given faith in every situation. Look to your Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sovereign God over all the forces of nature, over all sicknesses and diseases. Remember his Holy Spirit been given to you to live in your heart, and to have his divine power see you through again and again and again. Remember all that Jesus Christ has done for you, all that he will yet do with you to bring you home finally as a victor, upward and onward into heavenly glory with himself. Let that truth guide you and give you the strength to make your faith stronger again in the days to come. Exercise your faith in your almighty God. You are his redeemed. You are his beloved. Pray tell me what in the world could ever separate you from his love in Christ Jesus. Paul says, nothing in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God. Could God possibly let his kingdom perish or let you perish with a defeated faith? Oh, no. if God has brought you thus far, how could he possibly let you go? Please remember thus gracious promises like these when Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. What a promise. Or the words of our Lord at the end of the New Testament, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. A promise that he keeps. A promise for you to take hold of to make you strong again. And that glorious promise, surely I am coming quickly. Make sure your faith is grounded on promises like that and believe them with all your heart. So your faith doesn't become dormant or fall asleep, but remains functional, in operation at all times, lest we become dysfunctional Christians. One writer here says, faith is the refusal to panic, come what may. The refusal to panic at any time is because faith is there, you see? Or another, faith is unbelief kept quiet. Faith is unbelief kept down where it belongs. Faith is a trust in God's holy word, a sure confidence, an absolute certainty on the truth of the word, come what may. May you move ahead, congregation, with much faith, patient trust, of course, in God when things indeed go rough and are tough, and God doesn't seem to answer or move as quickly as we would like, then please, no fault with God. Remember your faith, the promises. He will be good to you. Have full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calms the angry waves, and the one who calms our hearts. He says, it's okay, be still. Guess where you are? You're in my hands. And so as we continue on in our faith congregation, sometimes it might be very good if your faith leaves you speechless. He's brought you through a very tough spell in your life. He's forgiven you of horrible sin. He's got you out of this horrible predicament. And you're amazed. You might ask, who can this be? Who was it that did it? It is the Lord, the King of glory, you see. And there is no other who has helped you and preserved you again. He calmed the waves. He's calmed my heart. And he fills us with a great peace. He indeed, congregation, will take care of you all. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and blessed Lord Jesus Christ, by your Spirit we draw near to you at this moment in this worship service, having heard your word, having seen the majesty and the glory of the Lord Jesus, having seen his omnipotence, omniscience, and how he made the disciples to be still, filled with amazement, and to know he is God. And so, Father, give us this spiritual wisdom and knowledge, this Christian character to live by faith. And then we know for sure it will be well with our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.